Sunday, some 400 protesters gathered at the Marine Corps base in Quantico, Virginia, where 23-year-old Private Bradley Manning is being held. Manning is suspected of being the WikiLeaks whistleblower. Despite not having been tried or convicted of any crime, Manning remains in solitary confinement. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley was forced to resign recently when he let slip that Manning's treatment by the military was ridiculous and counterproductive and stupid. Before addressing the crowd at Sunday's Quantico protest, Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers whistleblower, spoke with reporters.
I'm puzzled by why people don't realize that when you take risks in combat of your life, you see courage all about you when you're a civilian. In his case, he's still in the military, unlike me. But you should be willing to take those risks, too, to tell the truth. It could save a lot of lives. I wish that Secretary of State General Powell had been willing to risk his access and his career to tell us the truth before the Iraq War. It would have saved perhaps a million Iraqi lives and thousands of Americans. And I don't single him out necessarily, because really nobody did that. If Bradley Manning had been in that area and that status, it could have revealed the lies we were being told into the Iraq War. I think he would have put them out, even though it put him in prison, and it would have saved a lot of lives. I know that's his intention now, and I hope it succeeds.
Dad, tell me the importance of WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning in terms of the revolution in North Africa.
Whoever revealed this, and I'm going to give Bradley Manning credit for it, though it hasn't been proved in court, but whoever revealed these, or revealed to us, for example, not only that we were knowingly supporting corrupt dictatorships all over the Middle East and really all over the world, in ways that make us hated and decrease our security and our standing in the world. They also reveal very specific things, such as the fact that we're carrying on offensive ground operations by special forces in Pakistan, which the Pentagon had repeatedly denied. That is about as reckless and irresponsible a policy as I can imagine. It threatens to change the government of Pakistan, which is arm in arm with us, for one that is allied with the Taliban and with Al-Qaeda, the people who created them, and put nuclear weapons into the hands of people allied with Al-Qaeda. It's an incredibly short-sighted and reckless policy. So to reveal that gives us the chance to change it, and I hope it succeeds. We've also seen, by the way, the effect on the Middle East of the revelations that we knew that the governments we were supporting in Tunisia and Egypt and elsewhere were corrupt dictatorships, Libya as well, and that we were continuing to support them. That seems to have been a critical factor in the protests in Tunisia, which got Ben Ali, the dictator there, out of the country, and later Mubarak. If not for Bradley Manning, assuming that he was the source of these, and WikiLeaks, and the newspapers that reveal this, Ben Ali would still be there, and Mubarak would still be there. So already, if he was indeed the source, Bradley Manning has reason to feel that the world has responded in the way that he hoped, in the direction of human rights and democracy.
So the democracy movement in North Africa...
I would say that Bradley Manning, if he was the source, can well feel that he was one critical link in the chain of actions and events that led to the downfall of the dictators in Tunisia and in Egypt. I hardly hoped for such an effect with the Pentagon Papers and didn't get it immediately. The war continued. So in terms of, I don't know of another revelation, actually, that has such an immediate and immense effect in the direction of human rights and democracy. We owe him a great debt. I think there will be statues, very likely, if he is found to have been the source, there will be statues of him in Tunisia and in Egypt, I think, just like probably a statue to Mohamed Bouazizi, who gave his life, burned himself to death to protest what was going on there, another critical link in that chain of events. One person can make an enormous difference, not just by himself or herself, but they can do something that is absolutely essential and effective.
Don't you have a problem that he's not recognizing that he's done that? So isn't it a problem for you to support somebody? Maybe you are an embarrassment for him because he does not say, "I did that."
No, it's up to the... We're not... My opinion of this is not going to be evidence in a trial against him. It's his lawyers and his defense is putting the burden of proof, as is their right, on the government. to prove beyond a reasonable doubt the charges that they've made against him. And he's not giving that to them. He's not acknowledging it. Actually, he hasn't been allowed access to a single reporter in 9 months. No reporter has talked to Bradley Manning by virtue of the authorities. So we haven't had his direct account. All we have are these chat logs, and those aren't proven to have come from him, and that's a problem for the government. However, I'm prepared to give him credit for that, since I admire whoever it was, and if they say it was Bradley Manning, they think that's enough for me. He's a hero of mine for that reason.
But you went first to Congress. That's not the way he's been doing things. So he's not acknowledged as a whistleblower.
I wasted time going to Congress. I regret that. I should have gone immediately to the press because Congress sat on it. They were afraid to lose their access to secrets. They couldn't have been prosecuted, but they were afraid they'd be punished in various ways. And Senator Fulbright, I'm sorry to say, chose not to bring these out in hearings, the Pentagon Papers, as he'd promised. So my advice to someone now would be to do what happened in WikiLeaks here. Don't waste a year or two trying to get Congress to reveal this stuff. Congress won't act unless there's public pressure. And the public pressure comes from public knowledge. The public knowledge comes from giving it to the media. And even there, you can't count on mainstream media risking their relations with the administration or even being prosecuted to get it out. The New York Times sat on their story of the illegal warrantless wiretaps for a full year, past an election, which that information might well have spared us 4 more years of George W. Bush. So they have responsibility for that. I think, assuming Bradley, taking for granted here, is the source, whoever was the source, learned from that example that giving it simply to the press was not enough. They wouldn't get it out. And someone found an outlet that wasn't subject to that same intimidation, WikiLeaks. If this administration, Obama, who is conducting more prosecutions for leaks than all previous presidents put together. Before Obama, there were 3 prosecutions for leaks. Mine was the first. And there were 2 after me, 1 president each. Obama is the first one to bring 2 at a time. He's actually brought 5, and he's going after Assange. That would be 6. That would be more than twice as many as all previous presidents. If he wins those convictions and they're upheld by the Supreme Court, then leaking to the mainstream press will no longer have any basis for hoping for anonymity. It'll be a sure ticket to prosecution. WikiLeaks will remain as the only place, or somebody like WikiLeaks, the only place that people can put out evidence of crimes, deceptions, recklessness, with some chance of not being prosecuted. So it'll get even more important than it is now.
Thank you. Dr. Ellsberg, I'm a journalist also, The Washington Blade. Here's my question. I came in on it when you were asked whether the treatment of Bradley Manning is a form of torture.
Well,
I heard you say yes, but could you elaborate?
I say that on the authority, simply not on my own guess, but of many studies by Amnesty, by the UN, by others, by physicians for social responsibility.
Right.
This has greater effects on people's long-term effects, namely prolonged isolation, than even more dramatic forms of torture, physical torture, and that it does have permanent effects. Really, it can affect people's mind altogether, and is a very effective way of breaking them down to get the desired confessions, which may be a false confession in most cases. So most people don't understand this to be torture. For one thing, they don't think about the effects of prolonged isolation like this, which is essentially illegal. And it seems to be happening in our own prisons to a lot of people. It's illegal there. It shouldn't be happening. It's not only Bradley Manning. But it's wrong wherever it occurs.
The day after being arrested in front of the White House, along with 112 others, and shortly before he would be arrested yet again, Ellsberg addressed the crowd of Bradley Manning supporters outside Quantico Marine Corps Base.
Please welcome a hero to all of us. the man who played a significant role in ending the Vietnam War, and who has made it clear he believes Bradley Manning is a hero, Daniel Ellsberg.
I haven't been right here for 56 years. I spent, in 1954, I spent 11 months of that year in Quantico, first in OCs and then in basic school. And they say that once a Marine, you're always a Marine. Apparently, there's no former Marines. That seems to be true because I find it in two ways in myself that I'm still a Marine. First, I'm proud when the Marines do something right, when I read that it's a Marine who's done the right thing, when Major General Anthony Zinni of the Marines said before the Iraq War that this was wrong, hopeless, that it should not be done. I said, right, a Marine. I like that. I wish I would be very happy if Bradley Manning were a Marine. If I'd read that, I would have said, yeah, right, very good. And then the other way I remember that I'm a Marine, or I discover it in myself, is shame when they're doing something as they're doing at Quantico right now. If they were torturing Bradley Manning in an army cell right now, I'd be outraged and I'd be protesting it. I wouldn't find in myself the shame that I feel that members of the Corps are doing that. So I want that to stop, and I don't want President Obama could change that with one phone call.
Marines should not have to wait for their commander-in-chief to stop breaking the law
and doing this. So our presence here, I hope, will shame them, just possibly, we'll see, into that. The motto of the Marines is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. But times like these raise the question, faithful to what? Faithful to whom? The oath I took as an officer in the Marine Corps was not actually to the Corps, and it wasn't to keeping secrets. And what most people don't realize, the oath that I took, and every congressperson, every member of the government, like every officer in all the services take, is the same oath, and it is not to the president or the commander-in-chief. No. It's an oath solely to defend and support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, the truth is that under Bush, Cheney, Addington, Rumsfeld, and the others, we were governed by a regime that I recognize as domestic enemies of the Constitution, in the sense of that oath. And there was a constitutional coup, in effect, which very unfortunately was not part of the change that President Obama has carried out. So he's persisted in these secrecy, in the rendition, in turning over suspects for torture in Iraq, as Bradley Manning revealed in the Iraq war logs. Now, when I say Bradley Manning here, the government, it's the people who are prosecuting have the burden of proof of proving beyond a reasonable doubt the charges that they brought, and that's right to put that on them. I can make a judgment on those chat logs, which they have to decide whether they're admissible in court or not, but I'll make the judgment and give the burden of the credit to Bradley Manning, that he did do what he's charged, which makes him a hero in my eyes. So, the person, Bradley, I'll say from now on, the person WikiLeaks who exposed it, I'll say Bradley Manning, who I believe deserves that credit by his what he said in the chat logs. If he'd had access to the information that I did in the Pentagon in 64, 65, when I didn't put it out, unfortunately, until years later, if he'd had that, let's say, before the lies that got us into Iraq, I believe he would have exposed those and saved us from that terrible war and from the escalation in Afghanistan later. There was no Bradley Manning, no Bradley Manning at high level to tell the truth, not General Powell, Secretary of State, not anybody who did that. And Bradley Manning was the one who showed that he had the courage and the conscience to carry out his oath to support the Constitution and to reveal the torture that we were doing, the torture that he is now experiencing in this country. Again, giving the lie to President Obama's claim that he has ended torture, which is simply false. He was faithful, as I say, to his oath, in the which everybody takes, even in the Army. It may sound, I see people here with signs saying, I am Bradley Manning. Well, This may sound self-serving of me or boastful, but I was the Bradley Manning of my day. Yes, you were. And since then, I've been telling people who are in a position like mine, don't do what I did. Don't do what I did. Don't wait. I think that was support. Don't wait till the bombs are falling. Don't wait till years of war have taken place and more have died before you tell the truth to the press. Somebody came up to me earlier and said, well, you went first to Congress. And I said, yes, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
I wasted 22 months that way. Yeah. I should have gone straight to the press with that information. Would have come out a lot sooner. And even then, of course, you can't count, as Bradley Manning knew, you can't count on the mainstream press. The New York Times sat on the information they had of the crimes of the National Security Agency, the warrantless wiretapping. They sat on that, passed an election, and gave us another 4 years of George W. Bush, which was wrong. Okay, so going to WikiLeaks and getting it out and telling the New York Times they couldn't sit on it,
right,
was the right thing for him to do. I was facing life imprisonment, 115 years in prison, as he is. I was called a traitor, as he is. I was called that by the president, by the vice president at the time. Now, Bradley Manning is no more of a traitor than I am, and I'm not. And he is. You're here. We are recognizing that the kind of courage shown in that Iwo Jima memorial, for which I paid as a Marine every payday when I was in the Marines, semi-voluntarily, there was a sergeant at the end of every pay table when people went through the line to collect for it. But what we're memorializing there is the kind of courage that we see routinely on the battlefield. As a Marine general said in Korea, uncommon courage was a common virtue. You do see that in combat all the time. What you don't see it is comparable civil courage of people risking their careers, their access, their life in prison possibly, in order to tell the truth. We're here, I think, and certainly I'm here, because I want Bradley Manning's courage to be contagious. I want his example to be followed by other people, as he is, and not deterred by the torture he's undergoing now and the threat that he's facing. Thank you for being here.
The Washington Post noted of Sunday's protest, quote, an impromptu sit-in led to a tense standoff between demonstrators and Manassas, Prince William County, and Virginia State Police, who were in riot gear and on horseback, with some carrying automatic weapons. Zach Choate, a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War and Veterans for Peace, went down the line asking one black-clad officer after another, can you look at me in the eyes? Behind their shields and under their heavy armor, only the officers' eyes revealed their vulnerability, their youth. Each of the officers averted his gaze, unable to maintain eye contact with Choate, a Purple Heart recipient.
With peaceful protesters demanding the release of an American hero. And you can't even look at me in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. Can you look at me in the eyes? You? Nobody has voices here. What are you, robots? What is going on? Can you talk? Can you talk? I am no harm. I have peace signs and sunglasses in my hand and a Purple Heart in my chest. Nobody wants to talk. Nobody has anything to say about the peaceful protest that's going on right here. Peaceful protesters. Nothing to say. No voices. You all should be ashamed of yourselves for taking these people into custody when all they are doing is telling the truth. Just telling the truth. Exposing the war crimes. Shame. It's a shameful day in America that you guys that are supposed to uphold the rights of the citizens are sitting here and denying us our right to resist and deny us our right to free speech and deny us access to our memorial. Our memorial. That's our flag up there. Those are our bodies that died for that. And what are you doing? You're not even speaking. None of you are speaking. None of you are speaking. You can't even answer. You looked at me for a second. Do you have a voice? Do you have a voice? No voice. No voice. No voices from any of you. Can you guys speak at all? How do you feel about what's going on today? The fact the peaceful protesters right now are about to be arrested for telling the truth. Nobody's armed. Nobody's armed. I see weapons. I see gas masks, handcuffs all ready to take violence on all those peaceful protesters. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Are you a veteran, sir?
No comment.
I'm sorry?
No comment.
No comment? Nobody has comments.
Zach, can you just talk about what just took place? You walked down the line.
Well, I'll go back down the line and talk to you about it. What just happened was none of these cops here apparently have voices. None of them have comments. None of them have anything to say about the peaceful protesters that they're about to, push us off. Look at all of this gear. Look at all of this gear and look at all these people out here. All these people have peace signs up and these guys will not even talk to us. I'm sure some of you are veterans. And it's got to be a disgrace for you to press residents today. We're all just fighting for peace, which you should be too. And you should be protecting these people that are out here for our freedom of speech. You're shitting on the Constitution, every single one of you, and your oath of enlistment, I'm sure, which is the same as the military's. Defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Both foreign and domestic. Domestic. That's y'all. That's y'all. You're part of the problem. Every one of you are part of the problem. Are you a veteran? Will anybody speak to me? Does anybody have the decency to speak to a Purple Heart vet who bled for you? Who bled for you too? Does anybody have the decency to say anything to a Purple Heart vet, please? That died, that almost died for you. I had buddies in my truck die for you. What? Nobody wants to speak. Nobody wants to speak to somebody who served you and you and you and you and you and your family and your family and your sons and daughters. All of you. Yes, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Have anybody ever looked me in the eye, Zach?
Nobody will look me in the eyes. Nobody has any comments. Nobody will tell me if they're veterans. Nobody tells me how they feel about this.
How do you feel about it?
I feel that these guys are shame. They're supposed to be doing upholding the rights of the public citizens. We have rights, too. We have the right to free speech. We have the right to assembly. And these rights right now are being denied. Everybody out here is unarmed, have peace signs, just wanting to get the truth out and peace out, and to free our brother, Bradley Manning. And look at this. Look what we have behind us. We have armed American citizens who we protected, us veterans protected, whether it was a legitimate war or not. We protected these guys, and nobody has a voice.